Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to worship you. Help us to know you better, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to live out of who you are, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Please be seated. This past week has been a difficult week for two things. First one was last Sunday, the second one was Monday. Last Sunday, because I made an announcement about coronavirus. And to be honest, I didn't want to. Because that's not what I believe in. And that I want to talk about. Monday, of course, was something else. And many people will talk about, and even had a conversation this morning, and in a sense it's because people look at us clergy as being different from you people, but believe it or not, if I cut myself, I bleed red blood too. And we're just people. And in many ways, it's actually something my wife said, people actually should be more aware of the way that they talk to clergy, because they had no idea about the pressures that we're under, and yet we still have to come out and smile and say the right thing and be good to everybody, which is not possible. But anyway, just a by the way. We all are people, and we all have feelings, and we all have belief systems, and unfortunately all of us do not have our belief system in this, the Bible. And what I mean by that, when I say that, do you live your life dipping into the Bible every so often to get something out of it to help you to live your life? Or do you live your life because of what this says, and you live your life out of who you are in Christ? Now, I listened to a teaching this week, and this guy, very dramatic, definitely couldn't be restricted to a pulpit like this because he'd need the whole length of the church to preach. But what he was saying, and it was good for me to hear it because it reminded me of things and challenging me on things, as I say, of the past week of what was going on. Because what he was saying was that our life as a Christian should start where Jesus' life finished. When Jesus hung on the cross, the last words that he said was, "It is finished." What was finished? Everything that he had come to accomplish. And our life should be from there on. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away." Your history shouldn't matter. Things that have happened in your life shouldn't matter. Because it's all in Jesus, because Jesus made it possible for us to be with him forever. Jesus came to make a difference. And in that reading in John 3, I read virtually the whole chapter, and we're all familiar with it. We know the story of Nicodemus And we get up to John 3:16, and in a certain sense we switch off because we know what the verse is. But the reading for today ended on verse 17. And this is what verse 17 says. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God is not against you. God does not look at you and go, see that there? Whoa. Not like that. And yet we all believe that at different times. We think we've got to do something to be accepted. And it talks about that in the first part of John's Gospel, of what I was reading. It's about works. And it's not. Because, or actually, that was more in the Romans passage about faith. In the sense that you can do something. Because people are looking for, you know, it's what I've done. Because of the circumcision. You see, Abraham was justified by faith before he was circumcised. It was not because of anything that he'd done. It was his faith. Faith in what? Faith in God. He believed God. He believed that what he was hearing was God. He didn't know who God was. But God revealed himself to Abraham, and Abraham believed. And hopefully every single one of us believes. And yet last week, I had to make an announcement that was made by the bishops of the Church of Ireland and the secretaries of General Synod about coronavirus. And last Sunday, we didn't have communion properly, completely. I had bread and wine. Anybody that came up got bread. When you went out, I didn't come to shake your hands because of what was said. And it troubled me during the week. And it troubled me even when I announced it, because I started off by saying, as far as I'm concerned, you can have both. And as far as I'm concerned, you can shake my hand. But for your sakes, you may not be in that place. So to be honest, I'm still not going to have the communion on Wednesday, but more than likely is that when it comes to next month, unless there's been big changes or whatever, I'll have communion, and I probably will still announce what it states about the coronavirus. In which case, I'm going to leave it up to you. So I'll give you the chalice. If you don't want to take it, that's fine. Don't have to. Because believe it or not, there's a number of people that come up here anyway. You take the chalice, but they don't drink the wine. And that was before any of this came out. And likewise, I'll not be offended if you don't want to shake my hand on the way out. But you make the decision. But you see, I make my decisions because of what I believe. And what I believe is in here. Because I believe God. And I gave testimonies last week about things that I believe in and things that I've seen. Because just in a sense, like the accusation that Nicodemus, or not the accusation, but the confirmation that Nicodemus was making to Jesus. You could not be doing these miraculous signs if God wasn't with you. Well, that's my testimony too. Because I've seen people raised from the dead. Because I've seen people healed. Because I've seen sicknesses got rid of. And yes, I've seen people die that didn't get healed. That I've prayed for months. And it didn't happen. Because I don't know all things. But will that change what I believe in? Mm-mm. Not at all. And I know for a fact that coronavirus is not coming to this place. And why can I say that? Because I know that I'm an authority in this place and it's not coming here. But what I state is based on the Bible, not based on Alan Capper. And that's where everybody then has to fit in, because when I say fit in, you have to work out, what do you actually believe? Because you want to see some of the things we've been singing. And it was actually something Wendy was playing at the beginning before I came into the service. And I'm trying to remember what the words are. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's what you were playing. And the thing is, we know those hymns and we know those songs, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And we sing them and we like them. But do we live by them? Or do we just dip into them on a Sunday morning? And only you can answer that. Come, let us praise the Lord with joy, our God acclaim. This is hymn 687. His greatness tell abroad and bless his saving name. Do you believe that? Is that your testimony, that you talk about the greatness of God? What do I mean by that? Coronavirus doesn't mean squat, because my God's bigger. Flus and colds don't mean squat, because my God's bigger. How can I say that? Because my God raised Jesus Christ from the dead on the third day. He was dead. He was in the tomb. He was in the grave. And yet God raised him from the dead. And Ephesians 1:19 tells us that the power of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is inside the believer. That's what our Bible tells us. That's the truth. And it's not just the truth because I say it. You can read it yourself. It's in there. But do we believe it? And the thing is, what you do and how you act will determine whether you believe it or not. There's a man that I've quoted before, John G. Lake. And I'll tell the story again. Because I think John G. Lake was in Africa, and John G. Lake was around, it was either 1750s or the 1850s. So he didn't know anything about mobile phones or anything, long, long time ago. And the place that he was in, there was the bubonic plague, which in a sense is what the media is trying to tell you coronavirus is going to be like. And anybody that touches it kills. Because that's what was happening with the bubonic plague. And he was working in a field hospital and they were bringing people in who were foaming at the mouth. And when they were foaming at the mouth, they were just about to die. And as they were being brought in stretchers and put on the beds, they were working with them, trying to make them as comfortable as possible. Just working with them. I know what he was doing, and we'll get to that in a minute. But there's a doctor there that he was working with. And the doctor turned to John G. Lake and said to him, isn't it just as well that we've got the antivirus, the vaccine? Otherwise, we couldn't deal with this. And John G. Lake turned to him and said, what vaccine? There was no vaccine in him. The doctor had a vaccine so that he could work with the bubonic plague and it not kill him. John G. Lake didn't have any vaccine. And the doctor's like standing there amazed, going, how can you do what you're doing? And John G. Lake said there was a microscope. And he says, take one of those, I can never remember what you call them, but it's the wee piece of glass, rectangular piece of glass. He says, go and put some of the foam on that dead body that's just been brought in from his mouth. And he went and got some of the spittle that had come out of this man's mouth who had just died. And he put it under the microscope. And the doctor looked at it, and John G. Lake looked at it as well. And as they looked at this, you could see all the stuff going like this here, because it was very much alive. And the doctor saw it, and John saw it. And then John said to the doctor, watch this. And he took his finger, and he touched the slide, is what it's called. He touched the piece of glass, the slide, and as the doctor looked, it all stopped. Because as soon as he touched the bubonic plague died. Not because John G. Lake is such a great man, but the Holy Spirit that was in John G. Lake is the Spirit of God. The same Spirit of God that I preach about. The same Spirit of God that I've got. And the same Spirit of God you've got if, like Jesus talked to John the Baptist, as Jesus talked to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, one of the high leading people of his day, didn't have a clue what Jesus was talking about. How am I supposed to go back into my mother's womb to be born again? Like, you know, duh. And Jesus goes on and he tells them, you've got to be born of water and the Spirit. You've got to be born again. It's not just natural birth. Every single one of us in here have been born naturally. Might have been cesarean, but you're born naturally. But every single one of us in here needs to be born again, which is spiritual birth. And all that spiritual birth is, because Jesus said he didn't come to condemn the world, is to believe the Bible. To believe what the Bible says. Because the verse before in John 3:16 is, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. That whosoever, if you're here, you're a whosoever. That whosoever will believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, have eternal life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Saved from what? Well, saved from eternal separation from God. The Bible describes that as being hell. But more so being saved into him. Because the most wonderful thing about being born again is you get to know Jesus. You get to know God the Father. You get to know the Holy Spirit. You get to know and just flow in him and allow him through the Bible to come into you that changes you. And not that you change to be like him, but as you get to know the Bible, he changes you. And you can't help it. And I said there that we as ministers are supposed to be those who come in and smile. And in a sense, I smile not because I have to, but because of who's in me. I can't help myself. And we should be those kind of people that are like that. And that's why it's so easy to see. Now, none of us are perfect in this. And we all have room for improvement. And as I said, it's been a difficult week. And there's room for improvement. And dealing with things that are going on. Going on in my own life. Going on with challenges that we face. But every time we should be coming back to him. seeking Him. I'll try and give this as a last illustration. See how many of you can relate to this. So often in life repeats itself. We work in weeks, we work in days, we go to work, we do what we have to do. Perhaps maybe especially at weekends, we overextend ourselves and then it's Monday. And a lot of people talk about, it's Monday. And are you the kind of person that the alarm goes off at 6 o'clock in the morning? And you reach over. And because it's weekend and it's Monday, you hit snooze. So you've got 9 more minutes. And you fool yourself into, I'll go back to sleep. And then it goes, nee, 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 nee. And you know you've got to get up. But we'll risk another 9 minutes. And then eventually it goes, nee, 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 and I've got to get up. And you drag yourself out of bed. And you go to shower or just bath, wash yourself, whatever you do. Get ready. Stumble down to breakfast. Then you feel a pain, perhaps in your body. Oh, what is that? Oh, where's that coming? Maybe I should get somebody to pray for me. Who can I ring? Help me. I felt that before last week or 2 years ago. And we start the day off grumpy. Well, there's another picture. And I don't do this every morning. It's number one, I don't have going off. Because I get up when God wakens me. Now I do set an alarm, but it's so to remind me to ring Lorraine so she gets up. But she usually is up. But I let God waken me. I'm going to awaken in the morning. Thank you, Lord. I just praise you. Thank you that I'm a new creation. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're in me. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you that I've nothing to fear today because you're in me. And I can get up and bright and breezy. And perhaps when I get to the shower, and I don't sing, but God's already talking to me. Some of you might be singing by the time you get to the shower. And you go and you get your breakfast, and to be honest, you've already forgotten what was going on the weekend, the night before. Because you're established in who you are in Him. Not who you are in the flesh. Now that's a choice, and you've heard me talking and preaching about we all have choices, and that's a very simple choice, because if we predominantly get out of bed and it's the alarm and it's, oh, I don't want to go, and all of this, you might need to read this more. Because you don't realize who you are and what you've got living in you. Because as a Christian, as someone who's born again, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit wherein He dwells. And I can say that and it trips off the tongue. But what it means is this body is no longer mine. I died with Him. As the Bible says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. This is His body, and Almighty God lives in me. But it shouldn't be Almighty God lives in me because, woohoo, I'm going to get to go to heaven. Because yes, I am. But Almighty God lives in me for today. and what he has for me today, and where he wants me to go today, and who he wants me to talk to today, and what he wants me to say. And the only way I can know what he wants me to say is if I'm listening to him. As if my thoughts are going to him. If I'm thinking about what he wants rather than what I want. And each and every one of us makes that choice. Each and every one of us makes those decisions daily and multiple times in the day. Because as Christians, we should be those who are different. As Christians, we should be those who coronavirus, who cares? It's not coming nigh me, Psalm 91. No plague shall come nigh my dwelling and live. Because that's what the Bible says, and I believe it. But then we can only say that if we know it, if we've read it. And you will know it, and you will read it, because he's in you, and you want to, and you can't keep yourself away from it, because that's who he is, and that's who he is in you. And that's what we believe, because then we don't have to worry and fret about things. And yes, things will come against us, and things will challenge us, but we don't have to live there. We live here, in who Jesus is, and Jesus is in us, because that's more important than anything else. And so therefore, as I started, is that there will be communion here again, and I will give communion bread and wine, but you make the decision whether you take it or not. And I will be at the door to shake hands, and you make the decision whether you want to shake my hand. And it's not that you're shaking my hand. It's because of the 2, 3, 4, 5 people that went before. Because that's the way they talk about it being passed on. But I've no problem shaking your hand. You make that decision. That's bright. Father God.